knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan, and this is not 2020.
No, it is not.
Yes!
Happy New Year!
It is no longer here.
All the fine folks out there.
Yes, welcome one and all to a brand new year.
Yeah.
Same old shit, though, but it's a brand new year.
Yeah. Good riddance to old rubbish.
See y'all in hell.
What I'll say about 2020. Hey, bye. This is a podcast where we like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones. I'm Dan.
Indeed we do. I'm Jordan.
Have we said that already?
I don't know. I threw off our rhythm. Yeah. We're starting off with it a new way.
Cut. No. here we are. Happy New Year.
Dan.
Yes.
Dan?
Jordan.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot, buddy?
My bright spot is actually going to have to wait until the shout-outs to donors section of the podcast, and you'll enjoy it then.
All right.
But for now, I shall turn the question around on you. What is yours?
Dan, my bright spot is my two lovely dogs.
They're very cute.
I
begrudgingly say.
My new favorite pastime now is catching them in some sort of pose, taking a picture and then marking it up on my phone and just drawing a fanciful little picture around it.
Sure.
It is my favorite thing to do.
You got to get those dogs on TikTok.
What is TikTok?
Teach them dances.
But what is TikTok?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither, man.
It's old.
Not for us.
No.
It's not for us. We would just ruin it if we were there.
Get those dogs on Snapchat.
Is Snapchat still a thing?
I don't know. Never been on it. I have no idea.
Me neither. Oh, God. We're so old.
Get them on Vine.
Vine. That's where I'm going to go. Is Quibi still available? I got a five-picture deal with them.
Get them a Quibi.
I got them a Quibi. I'll put them on Cameo and see what they have to say.
I think you could run into ethical issues there. I don't think that it's ethical.
Are there labor laws for dogs?
I do think that... Based on your politics, you should not exploit the labor of those dogs.
That's fair. I got to get twin dogs so they only have to work 4 hours at a time, each of them.
If you redirected the money from the cameos towards all dog-related treats, maybe, but it's still dicey territory.
Yeah, otherwise, we're in child star territory there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That is a fine bright spot, Jordan.
They're my favorites.
Glad you're having fun with those dogs.
Delightful.
So today, Jordan, what we have in front of us is the first episode of 2021.
Yay.
And we're still in 2020 for this episode.
Well, yeah.
But we're gonna go over December 28th and 29th. That's Monday and Tuesday of last week, this week. And that way we save the end of the year for Monday.
Yes.
And then also... it'll be in the lead up to Alex's going to Washington, D.C. on the 6th.
That's right. They're still doing that.
Next week, there's a plan to go to D.C. for all that.
Wild.
So I figure we can...
Third time's a charm, I guess.
We can close out 2020, see how Alex ended the year on Monday, and then check in on the aftermath of that rally on Friday.
It'll be great.
And have a blast.
It'll be a real bummer if they win. It'll be a bad rally for us.
It'll be a bad rally no matter what, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, Jordan, before we get into this episode, we have a little bit of an extended... we have a number of shout-outs today, which is very exciting.
Wow.
Some of this is for folks who have signed up and are supporting the show, which we very much appreciate. And some are... one of them is a bright spot.
Okay.
So, first, this is not a bright spot. I am saying this name with a gun to my head, metaphorically.
Okay.
This is a dark spot.
Okay.
Alex Jones's tumescent moist penis. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah. We do. There are some flaws in our We'll thank everybody plan. Mm-hmm. There are some flaws that can be exploited.
Yep. Next, Hefe or Jeffe. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hefe.
Next, Frankie Fresh. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Frankie Fresh, moist penis.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I not supposed to do that?
No.
Oh, I apologize.
Next, Puff Danny. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Puff Danny.
Thank you. Next, Sammy, S-A-M-M-I-E. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Sammy.
Thank you. Next, don't go into the future. It's hot there. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Good advice for all of us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next, Nomad Adam. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Nomadam.
Ooh.
Ah, portmanteau it. Yeah.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you to someone who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much, and this is very important. Cisco is Reverse Flash. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much. Cisco is Reverse Flash.
Yes, thank you very much.
Jordan, we have a couple of special things
here. Of course. Yes.
First, got to say a very special birthday shout out to Bjorn L.
Okay. Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you for listening to the show and shooting us a message.
Yes.
Also, happy anniversary. Getting married on the first, right?
Getting married on the first?
Craziness.
Oh, that's out of control.
Well, I guess you'll never forget your anniversary if it's on the first.
It's always cheating.
It's a holiday.
Cheating.
Come
that's
on, man.
Cheating. Nah. Get married on the second.
I still think that would be easy to remember.
Nope.
I honestly think it would probably
impossible.
I've not been married, but I think it would be probably, it's not as hard as like sitcoms make it seem to remember your anniversary.
No, it's not that bad.
Oh, no, not again. That happened in every show.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah, but it's still never going to beat out the going on two dates in the same restaurant.
Sure.
That's the best one there's ever been.
That was a good gag.
Every show for 20 years had one of those. It's fantastic.
So, happy anniversary to Ryan and Ann randomly.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary to you both.
Yes, indeed.
It would be weird to only wish one of you a happy anniversary. So I insist on sending this message to both of you.
Happy anniversary to one and get out of that relationship to the other.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So now here's my bright spot,
what's
Jordan.
That?
This is something that is going to blow minds from here to Scandinavia.
Scandinavian.
Yes.
Scandinavian minds, too.
So, I got two messages.
Okay.
In the past little bit.
Uh-huh.
From people who are trying to set up shout-outs for their significant other.
Sure.
But unbeknownst to either of them, they have both messaged me.
We did not owe Henry someone. We did not owe Henry. How dare you owe Henry us? Who are you? This is a coordinated attack.
This
we got owe Henry.
Elizabeth from Sweden. Axel sent me a message to give you a shout out to say that you're a policy wonk. Axel from Sweden. Elizabeth sent me a message asking to give you a shout out and that you would go crazy.
And you must both shave your heads now. That is the rule. Both of you must shave your heads and buy each other combs. Let's go all the way in.
I just found that to be
most delightful thing that I can think of.
Yeah, and I hope both of your minds are blown.
Yeah, that's a bright spot for me too, Dan.
Yeah, it's just
fuck my dogs. I'm getting rid of them. I just want to think about this for the rest of my life.
What a way to start the year.
It is great.
Yeah.
It is great.
It's wholesome.
Super wholesome.
I hope it's a nice surprise for them.
Cute as shit.
Yep. And Elizabeth from Sweden and Axel from Sweden, you're both policy wonks.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you both for brightening my week.
Yes, thank you very much.
It was great.
I can't imagine listening to this. You would have to be really, really deep in it if you listened to that part of our show and were like, no fun. No, I don't like it. My heart isn't warmed by that. I'm bitter as shit, and I'm going to cry.
I think some people just hit the 15 seconds ahead. None of this bullshit.
Yeah, it's our version of ads.
Yeah, basically. So, Jordan, like I said, December 28th and 29th.
Yes, sir, Dan.
Here we go. We're jumping in on Monday.
All right.
And this is where Alex is starting off.
Start your engines, my friends. It's Monday, December 28th. The year is 2020. We have several very informative guests that are going to be joining us coming up today.
Do we?
And I'm going to lay out just exactly where we are on planet Earth in the fight against the globalists.
Austin.
But first, President Trump over the weekend tweeted out a very powerful video titled Man in America 2020 has been a year like no other. Here is that report.
So this report that Alex is citing that Trump tweeted out is not what you would call a report.
Mm-hmm.
That term's being used real loosely.
Okay.
In reality, it's a video about how the election was stolen, created by a guy named Seth Holhouse, who runs a website called Man in America. I wanted to learn a little bit more about this guy, so I went to his website and I noticed a few things that I thought were interesting. Two big things popped up about his URL, which is MIA.news.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that MIA stands for missing in action. So that kind of gives off the exact opposite vibe that this guy's probably hoping to put out there.
Yeah.
It's time for all good patriots to show up. So please remember, you can find me at MIA. I might have chosen a different name, different acronym. Like, for instance, I might have gone with American Withstanding Outside Legions. No problem with that.
Okay.
One. All that
right.
One's good.
All right.
The other thing that popped up was this guy had a .news URL, and pretty much the only people I've ever seen getting .news pages are InfoWars associates. I'm sure some other people are doing it too, but it's become something I associate so much with Alex and his crew that I instinctually suspect something is not right.
Yeah.
If it has a .news
address. 100.
It might have been slightly unexpected that this video went as viral as it did after Trump tweeted it out, because according to an article by Will Sommer in the Daily Beast, some interesting things started to happen recently. In particular, it appears that references online to Holhouse being a member of the Falun Gong movement began to be erased, including a mention of his appearance at a 2007 Minnesota conference on the website Clear Harmony, and all mentions of him on Minghui.org.
Why would they want that scrubbed?
He also apparently, this has not necessarily been scrubbed from the internet, but he was employed by the Epoch Times.
Okay.
A right-wing media outlet associated with Falun Gong between 2008 and 2015. But he's apparently also freelanced as a photographer for them as recently as July of this year.
Great, great. Good stuff. Everybody's got to work. Freelance is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not an individual who made a news report that's super powerful. It's the product of a longtime employee of a deeply right-wing propaganda media outlet that essentially deifies Trump. The removal of Holhouse's name from those websites is kind of telling, and the most likely explanation for why it happened is because the propaganda video featured him as the narrator, and it doesn't work nearly as well as if you know that he's the member of a spiritual movement that reportedly views Trump as a critical ally in the coming Judgment Day where communists will be sent to hell.
There is that.
According to former Epoch Times employees speaking to the NBC News.
There is that. Yeah. That does kind of mess with your credibility a hair.
Right. You like the presentation of the man in America, just the American flag behind him. It's all just, you know.
So it's less a media report and more a book report on Behold a Pale Horse. Yeah.
The charade works better when you just believe that the whole house is what he presents himself to be. From his website to his bio, quote, "Born and raised in the countryside of Ohio, I never thought I would see a time when our freedoms were under attack like they are today. I spent the last 15 years fighting against the tyranny of communism in China, but never did I imagine that that fight would come to American soil. My heart beats with the blood of a patriot, and I would rather die fighting than kneel down in shame. I created Man in America to speak to my fellow patriots and help educate, inspire, and unite us."
All right. All I just heard was a lot of ravens like screeching in my ears. Like, that's all I heard was like, wah, 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 wah. That's it.
It's sort of an angry mix between Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah,
that's
I've never written a good bio for myself, but I've always strayed about as far away from self-mythologizing as I possibly could.
This kind of reminds me of that advertising dude who created the Frank Bates persona to sell survival food and prepper supplies to conservatives.
Yeah.
Because he knew that the pitch would sound more attractive coming from a normal, everyday kind of fellow like Frank, even though he didn't exist, compared to the reality of it being a, you know, just bullshit being resold to them by an affiliate marketing billionaire who lives like in New York.
It does not.
It's a sort of puppet game.
Yeah, it's tricking flyover states.
Anyway, I bring this up to remind everyone that Alex Jones considers this a news report. What he's doing is just desperately chasing the actual new alternative propaganda media. Folks with associations with like Epoch Times or OAN and Newsmax until like a week or two ago, and they admitted that Biden won the election. Also, it appears that Alex really didn't want to work on this episode, because other than introducing that special report, he doesn't get back into the studio until 20 minutes into the episode.
That's very fun.
He just plays stuff and is like, oh, fuck it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Have we definitively proven that Falun Gong is wrong, though? Are they still in the running for end of days winner?
I don't know nearly enough about that as a group to speak with any kind of authority or credibility.
Sure.
So I can't say, you know, like if like their point is solely that China is repressive of groups, I don't disagree with that point.
Yeah.
But I don't think that groups like the Epoch Times are on the up and up.
Yeah, I was being facetious. I don't think all communists are going to go to hell.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to end up happening in the next... I don't think, even if it does, I don't think Trump is your ally.
Probably not.
I would say he's not the one you want to go
with. I also feel like he's going to very shortly become a less effective ally.
Let's hope. <Yeah. laughs> We can only hope.
Yeah. So Alex gets in. You know, he's quite a ways into the episode before he really says anything substantial.
So let me give the number out to respond to Trump signing the
Declaration of
Emergency Relief Bill. It's really just a foreign globalist pork barrel operation, or the pardons, or any of that. You're welcome to call in, and we can all get our brownie points with Twitter and Facebook criticizing Trump. But that all really becomes a distraction from the world government, Bill Gates, the UN, the forced inoculations, the COVID systems, Joe Biden.
I honestly can't tell if Alex is mad at Trump about the relief bill or not.
No, it doesn't seem like he...
I can tell that he's going to be mad at callers if they're mad at Trump about it, though. Yes. I can tell that for sure.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get Twitter brownie points, man.
Yeah.
Another thing that I was struck by listening to this is, like, we're almost 30 minutes into the show, and granted, Alex wasn't on air for most of it, but one of the lead stories isn't the Christmas morning bombing in Nashville that he interrupted his holiday to declare an almost certain false flag. Shouldn't there be a follow-up on that? Like, Owen hosted the show on Sunday, so Alex didn't cover it then, so it seems like now would be a good time to do this a little bit more responsibly.
Oh, no. I don't know. It happened a couple of days ago. You don't need to worry about it. I already forgot.
So he doesn't get to this immediately. That's not the lead story. The lead story appears to be Trump should not leave office.
I don't like that story.
Inauguration is in 23 days. The coronation of the Chi-Com puppet. They've built the stage there. Biden says he's not going to have one. It's going to be virtual. Well, then why is the stage being built? Well, because Trump has refused to move out. Trump has refused to go. He's told his aides and everybody, don't start packing the furniture or the clothing or stuff that's ours. We're not leaving. Well, what do you expect President Trump to do? President Trump shouldn't leave. President Trump shouldn't go. If it's fraud, he should fight on.
This is just kind of sad, because just imagine, as anti-Bush as Alex pretends to be, just imagine him arguing in support of Al Gore squatting in the White House because the 2000 election was stolen.
Right. Yeah.
Earlier in this episode, Alex said that even if Trump was a horrible bad guy, the election was still stolen from, so we have a responsibility to fight to overturn it. I know that he said that the 2000 election was fraudulent, but somehow I just can't imagine him working up this passion to support Bill Clinton's vice president getting into office.
Yeah. You know, the pyramids, they closed those off so you couldn't get out. So I'm fine. If Trump doesn't want to leave, we just board up the White House, build a nice little pyramid around it, and then, you know, he lives in comfort. I say we drop snakes in every now and again just to keep things exciting, you know, for the few weeks they have with air or
exercise.
Whatever. Yeah, absolutely. Run away from snakes for a little while.
Or hunt. Make sport of it.
Just the Trump family running around the White House stabbing fucking snakes.
Yeah, why not?
I love it. Yeah, that'd be great.
So Alex talks about, like, hey, you know, I went to this rally, this Jericho March a while back in D.C.
Sure.
And I said that Biden will not be president one way or another. A lot of people thought maybe rightly that he does speak it kind of violently.
Yeah.
I was not. And in fact, I'm a snitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sell me on this one.
Alex outs himself as a snitch.
Sell me on this.
we elected President Trump in one way or another, either by overturning the election and showing it's a fraud and getting Congress to act on January 6th to not certify it for Biden, or whether we end up impeaching Joe Biden or getting him arrested as a Chi-Com agent, one way or another, he will be removed. And that's what I said in my speech a few weeks ago in D.C. that made national headlines, claiming I said, kill Joe Biden. Really, why haven't I been arrested? Why? Because that's not what I said. Secret Service hasn't called me. The last thing I want is for Joe Biden to get assassinated. That's how they can turn lemons into lemonade. That's how they can make that guy a victim and a good guy when he's a bad guy. Then we'll have Kamala Harris, probably worse. Secret Service knows I'm on record, not once, not twice, but three times, getting crazy people arrested who were actually stockpiling weapons and planning to kill presidents. These crazies have sent us letters and called us before and said, I'm going to kill George W. Bush. I'm going to kill Obama. You know what I do? I pick the phone up and I call the Secret Service.
I don't believe Alex, really, but if he did, if that's true, good. You should be doing that. But also, don't tell your audience that.
I would definitely not tell your audience that. If we said, hey, some people sent us, we're going to kill the president, we called the FBI and they got taken care of, people would be like, yeah, good job.
It's the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah.
It's deeply alienating of extreme right-wing weirdos.
No, that's a problem. That's a problem for people who are interested in you.
If you speak too freely, I will snitch. That's what Alex said.
I am a turncoat.
Yes. look, I love the extreme stuff.
Hey.
I love it. I love dancing around it politically. Now, that said, I will call Janet Reno in a goddamn second.
This glass eye is, have you heard snitches get stitches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a glass eye. All right. Let's just keep that straight.
Yeah. Real fool's move on Alex's part.
Listen, all of you, I will turn you in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good work.
So he's real disinterested in the Nashville situation, which I found kind of surprising because, like I said, he put out a video about it on Christmas, which
seems really
kind of makes you think that maybe this is, you know, maybe he did smell something really important in the air. Maybe he did pick up on some pattern that he wanted to flesh out. Nah, he just doesn't really care.
No.
But still probably a false flag.
All right.
We're entering the phase of false flags. It's a lot of questions about what really happened at the bombing in Nashville. We've got Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, who's got a lot of excellent analysis joining us on that front.
He says nothing about
I was going to say, what the fuck could Skousen know about?
If I know Skousen, and I do a little, I would say he's going to say it's a false flag.
Yeah.
But I can't say that for sure because he doesn't talk about it when he's on the show.
Why would you? He doesn't know anything about it.
He has bigger things to talk about.
Our munitions expert, Joel Skousen, coming in.
Well, Joel, you know, I'm sure Joel would have made time to talk about this possibly being a false flag. But he had more important things
to
do, like tell you you've got to live an hour outside of town if
of
you
course.
Want to survive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But not too far because then it becomes like almost
that'll
impossible
be hard
to get supplies.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you have to get far away enough from places where there's large populations that people can't walk to you. He does go a while down that road.
All right. I do like a good, that sounds like when I was like six and my friends and I were building a snow fort and we like drew up like, there's going to be parapets here and there's going to be turrets and we're going to make sure that there's going to be murder holes.
We're going to make a trebuchet out of ice.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah, no, it's fun to dream. It's fun to dream.
Yeah. Also, I know exactly where to find Joel Skousen now, about an hour outside of town.
Let's set up a radius.
We got a Skousen perimeter.
Wait, it's not mileage. It's about an hour. Doesn't matter if you're driving or walking or wherever it is. It's just got to be about an hour.
I think it's by truck.
By truck.
Yeah. That's the sense I got.
Right. Not as the crow flies.
No. Crows can't get lumber back to your house or
that's true.
Or piping.
That's true. That's true.
So Nashville conspiracies appear to have deflated quite a bit.
Yeah.
But there's an escalation going on surrounding COVID-19 related stuff. And I'm getting to the point where I'm getting the sense that Alex is just saying it's not even real.
Yeah.
Like he's dancing dangerously close to David Icke territory.
China's open for business. They're bragging that we'll never be open, that under, because we didn't, quote, handle COVID right. It's totally made up, totally hyped. PCR tests are fake. It's all admitted.
So he seems to be implying that the tests themselves are all fake, as opposed to amplifying and misleading people or what. But he's so unclear.
Yeah.
He's so unclear, and he'll say, like, I'm not saying the virus is fake.
Right.
But all of the ways he's describing the circumstances would lead you to that conclusion.
Sure. I would just like, my guess is he's just reactionary, contrarian for the sake of it at this point. Like, if you say anything like, oh, it's 100% real, you'd be like, no, it's fake. No, I mean, the virus doesn't cause the tests. The virus is real, but the tests are fake. Like, there's no matter what, something is fake enough for him to disregard the entirety of the thing.
I think there's also a feeling of like he's just desperate to be interesting.
Mm.
And so, like, if you come in with a piece of information, he'll blow your mind with sort of the contradictory
piece
of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So one thing also that he's contrary to is Trump.
Sure.
Kidding.
Ah, nice.
But he's not very happy about those pardons.
Oh, the ones where he pardoned war criminals and murderers and white supremacists and crimers.
It's hard to say what Alex doesn't approve of.
Okay.
The number one issue is not Trump's stupid pardons, which I disagree with. These latest ones is terrible. The number one issue is world government, new world order, technocracy, passports to travel, to leave your house, digital IDs, total control. It's not coming. It's here. So I want to know what you think the number one issue is and what we should do about it.
So Alex has plenty of time to cover this story with responsibility. Like, why don't you agree with those pardons?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Right.
And why do you think Trump pardoned those people anyway?
Yeah.
And I was going through the pardon lists from the 22nd and the 23rd because I was trying to figure out, like, you know, what's the issue here?
Yeah.
And you know, you had, like, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort were probably, like, the headliners of those shows.
Sure.
And it's like, Alex can't be mad about that.
No.
That's, like, he's for that.
Yeah.
So then it was, like, Charles Kushner, Jared Kushner's dad.
Yeah.
Like, maybe. Alex is kind of wishy-washy on Jared. He thinks he's a globalist. But I've also heard Alex say that Charles Kushner was set up.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
He was just trying to prove that this person was cheating or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good sell.
Whatever the fuck.
Almost got me on that one.
Yeah, so I've seen him, you know, go both ways with that. So then, of course, what you were referring to is the four dudes who were Blackwater mercenaries.
Who, the serial killers.
Yeah, who carried out the Nisour Square massacre.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really fucked up considering that last year Trump pardoned, what was that guy, Eddie Gallagher, the dude who killed civilians.
Yep.
And it's a bad pattern.
No,
I think I got a feeling that that's what Alex is talking about.
Right.
Because, like, so much of his career and any kind of, like, you know, like, well, you got to give it to Alex, is built on his opposition to the Iraq war.
Yeah.
So much of it is based on, like, I am not a war hawk. I have principles. I'm not going to just go along with George W. Bush in this war that's built on a lie. You know, that kind of stuff is the only reason that his career had any legs to begin with.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would just be, I don't know, a hyper-talented anti-communist weirdo no one's heard of.
Yeah.
Like, that's what prompted people of other political alignments to consider him.
Yeah.
Like, as being like, this guy's on to something.
Yeah. If you go hard enough on everybody's enemy, some people will, even from the opposite side, be like, you're going real hard, man. I'm all about that.
I had some friends in college who almost got sucked into LaRouche.
Yeah. Because these guys all suck so bad.
Yeah. And so I kind of thought about that. I was like, well, that would be such an invalidation of, like, really a core piece of Alex's, like, premise.
Yeah.
But I was like, we've heard him talk about wanting martial law and, like, putting socialists and Antifa in camps and stuff. It's like, that's an invalidation. He could do that if he wanted to. So here's my theory.
What's your theory?
I don't think it's actually those pardons.
Okay.
I was looking through the list of pardons.
Uh-huh.
And I found that two pardons went to John Tate and Jesse Benton, the two Ron Paul campaign members who tried to bribe an Iowa state rep to switch his endorsement from Bachman to Ron Paul back in 2012. Now, you might think that Alex would support both of those pardons because he's excusing the crimes of people who are on the same side as Alex, but you'd be wrong. Alex hates Jesse Benton. He's indicated in the past that he feels like Benton has worked to keep him on the outside of things, and that Benton weaseled his way into the Patriot movement by marrying Ron Paul's granddaughter.
I do remember that.
He went on a whole, he's done a lot about that.
That Jesse is Benton. Really funny.
And fucking hating that guy. He is a scourge on the Paul family.
Of course.
I think it might be that.
That has to be it. That's hilarious.
You know, you got
to
go with the psychology of the individual, and there is nothing that motivates Alex more than petty grievance.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Petty spite is number one on the things. Look, you could have murdered his family, but if Stelter walks by, it's Stelter who's going to get the hate.
Philosophical consistency is what you would hope for. So you would hope it would be something like, you know, these people are out and out war criminals.
Yeah.
And pardoning them may, in fact, actually be a violation of the Geneva Convention.
No, I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Experts in the field have indicated that it is.
No, I mean, it is fucked up because more, I think, than any other decision that a president can make, pardons are intimate. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like that, you pardon somebody knowing full well that they were convicted of their crimes and chances are did them.
Yeah,
pardoning those guys is very much like, brown people are not people to me. That's what that says.
Or
pardoning those people.
The most generous interpretation is civilians in other countries are at the mercy of our military.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like
the most generous.
Yeah,
I would argue that it points more towards I'm fine with genocide, but yeah, I mean that's the reality of it. So if you see Trump pardon those guys, and you're fine with that, you're fine with everything.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
The message of it is harrowing. And
yeah,
it's
terrifying.
It's, I mean, there's a lot of decisions that are made by elected officials that send like less than ideal messages. That's definitely true.
Right.
But something like that does give a real middle finger to the idea that anyone in the rest of the world would treat us like we are operating from any kind of place of good faith.
Yeah.
It's any
movie where they're like, oh, okay, we're going to go in. We've got this super murderer in the darkest dungeon and we're going to use him now. Like, no, those are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who are like, yeah, let's set the dog loose. That's what this pardon is let's set the dogs loose on our enemies.
Well,
and it's fucked up.
Except in
not
that,
even our enemies, just people.
Except in that one season of Heroes where it's the guys on level 5.
That's true.
Some of them were really bad, but I think a couple of them were actually got, they were just
that's
down there because their powers were too strong.
Too strong.
I don't
too
remember
strong.
Exactly.
Come on.
I'd
They're
sort
weapons
of
mass destruction.
I'd kind of lost interest.
Don't worry about it. No one's hurting you.
So Heroes is actually a work of science fiction. You might be surprised to learn that Alex took in a little piece of science fiction over the weekend.
I am not surprised.
So I want to go to Manuel, Diana, Brent, Seth, Kirk, Joe, Wendy, and others.
Diana.
We'll do that on the other side.
No.
It's funny.
Get
we got a lady named Diana calling in.
Get the fuck out of here.
Marvel comics. I don't like these modern movies. They're all full of propaganda and
all right.
Very, very boring and have really stupid plots.
Yeah. Agreed.
And a lot of men are kind of arrested development and
right.
spend their lives obsessing with it. But I got taken by some friends last night to see the new Wonder Woman movie. And I've seen the other two, been basically forced to watch those as well. They were unwatchable. This one was next level.
You just went for
propaganda.
A movie.
It was like a hallucination.
Why do you keep getting dragged to movies? Like half of his media diet, he's being forced to watch.
Just say that you like stuff.
Yeah.
Why can't you? Oh, no, I'm not really that big a fan of Star Wars. No, I don't really do sports. No, I don't really do comic book movies. Fuck off. Say you like it.
Yeah.
You wanted to see Wonder Woman because you like comic book movies.
Yeah, I got dragged to it opening
Why?
Weekend.
Why? Why did you get dragged to it.
I got dragged to a movie theater on opening weekend to see Wonder Woman 1984 during COVID.
Yeah, yeah. By some of my friends who, who just dragged me there.
Yeah.
I got trussed up.
Bizarre.
I was gagged.
Yeah.
I was dragged from my truck.
Although I will say that not liking it is probably the most obvious review you could imagine from Alex.
Yeah. It's female superhero. Yeah, done. Get the fuck out of here.
Strangely loved the new Ghostbusters.
Sure.
He did not.
No.
So anyway, it's basically like, if you go see Wonder Woman, you're getting mind controlled.
Okay.
This one was next level propaganda. It was like a hallucination. Flicker rates, everything. This is the future of mind control. Had a very positive message on the surface, a very negative one, deeper into it. But it was
be
very
careful
well done.
What you wish for?
Very, very cheesy at one level, very sophisticated at another. I mean, this is Stanley Kubrick level 2.0.
So you liked it?
Very, very sophisticated. So when you go see that movie, you are basically being mind controlled.
Okay. I just say you didn't like the movie.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yeah.
I saw about 80% of that movie.
Uh-huh.
Fell asleep on the last part. But that
probably
was
mind control.
No, that was fine. No, it was fine. I was happy.
The controllers just wanted you to fall asleep.
Yeah. It was good stuff. Mm-hmm. Two things.
Your subconscious brain took in the rest of it, and now I don't feel safe around you.
Not sophisticated at all.
Okay.
Not even a little bit.
Kind of a comic book movie?
Two, Pedro Pascal is the greatest actor in the history of the world.
He is
giving Nicolas Cage levels. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So good. He was the best part of it. Once his part was done, that's when I fell asleep. I was like, fuck this.
I think a lot of people feel the same way about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there we
Zing.
Go. All right.
Zing.
Watch out.
Maybe it's a sign of getting older. Maybe I'm maturing.
Yeah.
I don't find Alex's movie reviews as good anymore.
No.
When he did The Watchmen, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
This is kind of just a slow pitch.
We're both too old to really get into a bad movie criticism of Wonder Woman.
Maybe. I could stand someone like telling me what's wrong with the plot, like if there's a structural issue with the story or something.
Oh, it doesn't make sense, but that's fine.
Yeah, I think you could probably still enjoy it. I mean, there's incredibly huge problems with most of the Fast and Furious movies, and
I can't think of any.
They're still amazing.
Internal logic is fine.
Yeah, I'm too old. Alex is 10 years older than me, and I'm too old to listen to his dumb ass
telling
me about how this is sophisticated mind control.
I think it was interesting.
Oh, the men are cowards.
I think it was interesting the first time we watched it, because the juxtaposition of a gruff, ostensible newsman just being like, and watch what's stupid, is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on movie 300 of him being a child, and you're like, all right.
But Watchmen, too, like, there was, like, depth to his review.
That's true.
And he kept mispronouncing Ozymandias.
That's true. Ozymandias is pretty great.
But, like, there was something to that, like, he was swinging. He was swinging for the fences.
That's true.
And this is just kind of like, I kind of just get the sense that he was overwhelmed by, like, the visuals and stuff and didn't understand the movie, and so he decided to call it brainwashing.
Okay.
This is beyond suspended disbelief. This is beyond lowering your brainwaves to a near sleep state. This is beyond daydreaming. This was full-on hallucination. And I was conscious of it second to second, but still my brain was, you need to stop watching this. This is not good. So it was next level. Absolutely next level.
I think he was just sitting there. He's like, I don't know what's going on. I mean,
you know, maybe take some brain force and it'll allow you to focus on the movie.
That might help.
Yeah.
And so he analyzes the film a little bit. And by the way, I'd like to point out that he's spending this much time on Wonder Woman for no fucking reason.
No, Diana called.
Well, there is that. But he could have explained what his problem is with Trump's pardons.
Sure.
In this time that he's wasting on trivial nonsense.
Yeah, but like, he heard the name Diana, so you got to talk about Wonder Woman 84.
Right. Or, I don't know, any other thing that has Diana in the name.
Yeah. Princess Diana.
Oh, I can't. Oh, thank God.
Got to talk about that.
Couldn't come up with another.
The whole theme is there's an end of world event coming. And we're the ones making it happen because we want too much, because of our desires. We've got to give our will over to something else to stop it. But it tricks you. your will's been given over to this Antichrist character, but then you've got to denounce him but give your will to another collective that is the goddess Diana. But you've still given your will over. And men are bad. Women are going to lead us out of this. And that's what the Carnegie Endowment was set up to do, was to end the human species as we know it. Not just going to end men, they're going to end women as well and make us corporate creations that are patented and controlled, and the globalists are God.
2 stars.
Ooh.
So I was listening to that, and I was like, okay, I've not seen this movie, and I'm not going to see this movie,
probably.
And not because I don't want to or anything. I just don't see movies that often.
No. You'll be fine.
It looks good, like any hero movie is.
Yeah.
I was guessing that there's some sort of a villain that tricks people into supporting them.
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman gets their support, and that is how she's able to be successful.
Kinda.
Good, but it's close enough. That's what he's talking about, more or less, right?
Yeah, but the problem is...
Like, give your will to someone is, like...
So,
support them.
No spoilers, because I didn't finish the movie.
no spoilers, because I can't.
Because I can't spoil it. But it's the main bad guy is Pedro Pascal, Nicolas Caging all over the scenery, and he can grant wishes, but it's a monkey's paw scenario.
Oh.
It's a classic, what do you want? And there's a price for it.
Oh, okay. So he's a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Mm. The entire movie is Nicolas Cage Twilight Zoning everyone.
Mm-hmm.
My review of the movie is very simple. At the beginning, it's butt. And then in the middle, you're like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then it's butt again. Like, that's the whole movie.
What do you mean butt?
I mean butt.
Buttocks?
It's bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with buttocks.
No, there's okay, fine.
I don't understand that being a...
All right, fair enough.
I feel like there's another way you could have expressed that.
Ass head.
Hmm.
No?
I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, don't watch Wonder Woman on LSD, bro.
So again, lots of cheesiness, lots of kid stuff, lots of mindlessness, lots of 80s nostalgia, but that's just for your conscious brain. Behind it, all the other manipulations taking place. So I'll do a more in-depth review later, but it was definitely mind control caliber material. I definitely would not take it on LSD.
Yeah, I think that most like bright, flashy things might be a little bit tough to take. Watch while you're on LSD when you're 46 years old.
Probably, with a history of amphetamine abuse.
And a loose grasp on reality.
Yeah, to begin with. Yeah. From the jump.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think that's a smart move on his part.
No. So Alex does not really, I don't think he gets back into a more in-depth Wonder Woman review, which actually I'm equal parts disappointed and glad he didn't, you know. I could have used something a little bit deeper than this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't care.
Yeah.
He'll do it eventually.
The way he describes Wonder Woman makes me want to watch They Live With Him just to see if, like, does he even see the hidden messages, like the consume message? Does he just see, like, a blank sheet and he's like, well, I don't get why these people hate these aliens. They're great. Capitalists are running everything. All these people, what are you even looking at blank signs for? Come on.
We can talk about this the next time it comes up.
Yeah.
Or maybe, no, I already did this with Marty.
Oh.
The episode where Rowdy Piper was on InfoWars.
Oh, that's right. And he talked about They Live. Yeah.
Don't think Alex gets So in this next clip, Alex says something that is completely, I just don't understand it. The first part of it, categorically not true.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, impossible.
Okay.
You know, if you're an American, been brought up that America's bad, America's terrible, it's the worst place on earth, we're the most oppressive people anywhere, and statistically, it's actually the opposite. But we're never taught about the evils and corruption that goes on in other places where tyranny is in charge. But when you look at historical tyranny through the last few thousand years, and then current tyrannies, and tyrannies the last 100 years, every form of tyranny, every form of abuse, every form of oppression, and really nasty stuff, and the worst people being in charge is in the UN, is in the world government, is in the corporate governance, is in the communist Chinese.
that makes no sense, that part at the end there.
Yeah.
The last 1,000 years. I mean, I guess you could go with China.
Sure.
Perhaps. But the UN leading that sentence is tough. The way you make that sentence work is you just pretend that the world government is everything you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that the UN is actually also the, you know, the League of Nations. And it's also every government that has ever existed throughout Europe and, you know, whatever.
I think it's really
just define your own terms and then you can say all corruption has been part of this.
I think it's really funny that he absolutely cannot bring up a very obvious one in Russia with just being like, well, Putin has declared himself president for life and any crimes that he commits are retroactively impossible to charge him for. Mm-hmm. He just attempted to kill the only person running against him for leadership. That sounds a lot like stuff Alex wants Trump to do.
Sure.
Like one-to-one.
And I think that the problem is that in America, we're never taught about other places doing bad things.
Never. We never hear about it.
Never.
Uh-uh. Not something. We definitely don't hear about bad things happening in other countries very differently than when they happen here, too. Mm-hmm. It would be wild if we were to cover different stories, you know, the same story differently. That'd just be crazy.
We never have people on the radio talking about how the Civil War was about states' rights.
No, never. No. Mm.
So that was weird. I got very confused by that. And then I got kind of mad.
So pretty amazing information. And when John Hopkins put that report out, they had Snopes and everybody go, oh, it's false. And they go, well, all the year's numbers aren't in. But at the study, they looked at that. They looked at last year, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands more already than it would be this year. So they averaged in the rest of the year and found still about the same deaths. But they said, well, it's not totally scientific, down to the person. Well, nothing is with statistics. So that's how they spin the fact into something that they can then obfuscate.
This is really simple. According to the CDC, there were 2,839,205 deaths total in 2019, a rate of about 867 per 100,000 population. We don't have the total data for 2020 yet, and reliable figures won't be available for months. But the AP reported that scholars estimate the number will be over 3.2 million. Typically, you would expect a consistent rate of death to produce between 20,000 and 50,000 extra deaths each year as the population ages and also increases in just a total number.
Sure.
There's just a reality that people are dying, and Alex's political position depends on him living in complete denial of that fact. And I don't mean to be too preachy, but I hope this haunts him for the rest of his life. How ghastly this kind of behavior is. When people are suffering and losing loved ones, for him just to pull this kind of bullshit, it's just, I want more Wonder Woman reviews. Yeah. I don't want this shit.
Yeah.
This is what I was telling you before the episode. I was like, yeah, I got one of those moments I haven't had in a while where I just had to like walk away from the computer. I had to stand up and be like, No,
I just you know, like my family is what they are, but my little sister and her husband both tested positive not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
And I just like the possibilities for damage to them that we aren't even considering. Like, fine, I get it. You don't think that you're going to die. That's great. Have you not seen long COVID symptoms? Have you not seen people's psychosis manifest? Like, how do you not understand how terrifyingly dangerous this shit is?
Yeah.
And it's happened to people in my, you know, like, it's there's no escape from it. And it's because of fucking monsters like this.
Oh, it's because of at least behaviors like this.
Yeah, totally. So fucking,
The unknown unknowns, I think, is partially what you're talking about, too. And it's just like, I don't know. I hope that he lives long enough to be haunted by this.
Yeah, please.
So Alex does finally get to taking calls. I'm not sure if he ever gets around to Diana. I regret to inform you that I think he takes two calls on this episode.
Hilarious.
But one guy calls in. He wants to talk about how diverse Trump rallies are.
Sure.
I feel like the fake news media and fellow NPC Americans, they're expecting a specific archetype of Trump supporters to be there in D.C., but I feel like they'll be greatly shocked at the intellectual diversity that will come crashing through in D.C. on January 6th.
Well, they are shocked. I mean, they tried to always say the Tea Party was racist so that blacks, Hispanics, and Asians wouldn't go. That started to fail about 8 years ago as people went and were totally accepted and loved. And then now, under Trump, you go and you'll have an overrepresentation at some of these rallies of blacks, Hispanics, and others. And the media, that's what put them into total race-based panic mode to say Trump is Hitler because they don't know what to do. I mean, look, Trump got 3 times more black men to vote for him than any Republican ever. That scares the living snot out of the establishment.
Oh, yeah, of course it does.
So this caller brought up intellectual diversity.
Yeah.
And Alex immediately starts talking about racial.
Right. Well, they don't actually have any intellectual diversity.
I don't know what he was trying to say. I think that people have the image of Trump fans from past Trump rallies. I think that
the ones where we saw them.
History is prelude, as they say. You expect about that
sometimes
show up.
Sometimes
the next
I really do think that the GOP thinks maybe there are 10 black people total. And then whenever they show them, when one shows up at the rally, they're like, we got 10% of the entire. How do you not think these things are diverse? We got 10% of all black people here.
Well, what I think is interesting is the inability for Alex to hear diversity and not immediately jump into defense mode about the clear lack of diversity at these rallies from that standpoint. Intellectual diversity, I guess, means that some people want to shoot people and some people want to go the legislative route.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's
a lot of diversity.
Some people are Mises Institute libertarian types, and some people are outright fascists.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a lot of people on different sides. Also, not for nothing, Trump got like 8% of the black vote in the last election. Mm. So it's definitely better to report that as like, oh, record black support.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, hey, this party that I support has never gotten over 10%.
Has so alienated an entire group of people.
Much like Trump's pardons, let's not consider any of the surrounding context of that.
Kidding.
But man. Alex has a great idea.
What's that?
If his goal is to incite violence and an insurrection among right-wing people in this country,
sure,
he has an amazing idea.
Thank God he hasn't conceded. We need to keep exposing the fraud, keep showing the evidence, and then no matter what happens, Trump is still our president, and I think he should have that talking point because it's true that the power structure and the system has occupied America and put in their puppet, and that Trump should then travel around the country rallying legislatures, state houses, and others. And he should have a nightly TV program where he'll have more ratings than Fox, talks to the public.
Yeah, he should have a nightly show where he pretends to be the second president and the rightful president of the United States because there's an occupier in the House.
I don't know if I want to live in a 2020 where we're reliving like the Pope and the Dark Pope fighting in Italy in the 17th century.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to live where that is.
No.
I don't get why we're still doing that.
It wasn't good for people.
No, it was bad.
But yeah, when I was listening to this, I was like, okay, it's a stupid idea. Trump's never going to do that. The TV show, maybe, if it profits him somehow, yes. He's not going to go on a barnstorming tour of state legislatures in order to save the Constitution.
I mean, essentially, you would be describing a war.
Wow. But he's also...
He's going to go from town to town recruiting for his fucking army.
Well, I mean...
Yes.
He's one of the greatest orators of our generation. He'll go and give really measured, thoughtful speeches about the responsibilities of statesmanship.
Oh, man.
I just found that this kind of... this section of the show just really struck me as like what I would describe as terrorist edging.
Yeah.
It's just trying to get these people right up to the point of...
But that's what this is. This whole, like, since he lost the election, it has been nothing but edging. Like, ooh, we're going to do it this time. No, we're not going to blow it up this time. But next time, I do.
But it feels pretty, like, really pronounced on this 28th.
We don't value ourselves, so guess what? The New World Order doesn't value us. And God will let us have what we want. We forsake ourselves. God didn't forsake us. We took all the blessings and threw them out the window because we had a game of tennis to play or golf to play or we were going to go act cool with our friends and get drunk again. And
how's
so
your wife's
who cares?
Let
somebody else handle it. Okay.
Rant.
Everything will be taken from you now. everything. And they're going to do it in increments where you join along, you'll be taken care of, and then, oh, it gets a little harder, but you still join, you still keep complying while you're being strangled. All right, let's go to Mike in Arizona. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Weird sound weird. There. Yeah.
Just a little burp. Something stuck in his throat.
Some reflux. Maybe he had some nachos out at the Alamo Draft House.
Hey, everybody's got to get something to eat during
Wonder
WWE
Woman.
84.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hear that stuff, and it's just like, hey, you could keep, you know, getting along, going along to get along, but that's how you're going to end up in submission. You're going to end up in shackles unless you blow something up.
Yeah.
Kind of feels that way a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
I think that there's something to it, too, where Alex is saying, like, we brought this on ourselves. It's your own fault. And that's to, you know, be the guilt fuel that you kind of need to get yourself into a position where maybe you'll do something stupid.
Totally.
So one of the things that I think is really weird, and I think we've talked about this a bit, is that Alex believes that masks are evil.
Sure.
And wearing them is a mouth diver.
Yeah.
And what have you. But he sells them.
Well, yeah, of course.
So he rationalizes that here a little
bit.
Let's
do it.
I'm not talking about any particular individual. I'm talking about the way a Pharisee brain works is very one-dimensional, like, you say the mask are a fraud and cause bacterial pneumonia. You say they don't protect you. You say they're a symbol of slavery. Then what are you doing selling masks? Well, when we launched them, I made the decision to print it with Infowars.com. So if you're on a plane or in a restaurant where it's a private place and they're making you do it and you need to go there for whatever reason, you wear it to fight back and then use the abuse like a judo move. They attack you. You use their momentum to throw them through the wall.
No, we get it. No one misunderstands that. I think we understand that he's selling these masks in an attempt to encourage his audience to be oppositional, defiant to people in public, and hopefully cause a scene big enough to go viral and get some free press for InfoWars.
Totally.
We understand
that. Yeah, the meaning is clear. Yeah.
The thing that I think is fascinating, though, is that Alex can't grasp the critique that's coming from the other side, namely our critique. I would say that it's strange that, you know, you think that this is a sign of slavery, but that somehow this sign of slavery is okay if it's a branded sign of slavery that Alex could profit off of somehow.
Yes.
Whether by selling it or the free press that comes from it.
Right.
Or the potential new audience that gets exposed to your product by other people wearing it. It's weird. It's strange that a sign of slavery would somehow become acceptable if you benefit from it.
Hey, it's a sign of slavery, but, you know, if we're going to have slavery, might as well make a little cash on it.
That's,
you know,
fucked up.
Yeah, it's really fucked up, because that's pretty much what he's saying.
Yeah. Also, he can straight fuck himself. If Alex spent even a minute looking into the history of how enslaved people were branded and mutilated to signify that they were enslaved, he'd probably feel pretty bad and maybe a little bit petty complaining about having to wear a mask to go to Kroger.
You would think.
You fucking dick.
Yep.
But he did brave the slavery of public spaces or something, because he needed to see Wonder Woman.
And then I talked to everybody I saw in the movie theater. It was amazing. Alamo Draft House, horrible socialist globalists own it. They love it. You go in, all the lights are turned off. It's like dystopic. They're sitting there with a thermometer, a laser thermometer, to all get into theater. And I said to the guy, I said, you know, the same amount of people have died this year that died last year, right? And this is all a fraud. He goes, I know, but we're just doing it to keep you safe. Oh, if I never existed, I'd be safe. It's all a fraud to shut down the economy. You won't even have your job soon, buddy. This is a global takeover. And the people that own Alamo are horrible leftists.
Sir, just go see the movie.
You can even imagine.
Sir,
but I went there.
Do you want butter on your popcorn?
I've been to a movie in the last 11 months, and it was just a disgrace.
Sir.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Watch it at home. You sound miserable. I don't get it. Why would you go to this theater that's run by terrible socialist globalists as opposed to just renting it at home?
How can you go give money to terrible socialist globalists?
It seems like it's counter to everything Alex stands for.
Yeah, totally.
It seems like he's probably rich enough that he has a pretty comfortable TV in his living room.
I would
assume, based on how many goddamn movies he talks about watching, you'd think he's got a pretty cushy setup, maybe even an in-home theater setup. Watch this movie around loved ones. ones. Oh, wait, can't. He risks brainwashing his children.
Yeah, that's true. That
his
is
children
true.
May not be strong enough to resist the wiles
yeah.
of the subliminal messages Wonder that are in Wonder Woman 84.
Wonder Woman did get an R rating for its subliminal messaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
No kid, 18 and older without an adult. Yeah.
The
yeah.
MPAAS for subliminal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, dumb. This is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
Stay
not going to judge.
Alex.
I'm not going to judge him for going to a socialist globalist theater. I go see the Cubs game, and the Ricketts are terrible fascist nightmare people. So,
well,
what are you going to do?
I think that there is an argument to be made for, like, if you have to. You can't watch the Cubs live except by paying for a ticket
sure.
to go to Wrigley or, you know, I guess you could travel to another city.
You can't watch them on TV without giving money to the Cubs that own their own goddamn network. They're
right.
evil.
And you could make a similar argument that renting the movie at home would still be giving money to the studios
sure.
and, you
sure.
know, he doesn't support them.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care.
VPN, torrent. Let's do this. Get off the grid, buddy.
Still... I don't think it's a great idea to go to a movie theater in Austin right
now.
I agree. Maybe I
think
would still
wise.
Judge that.
I think that's wise.
So anyway, Alex is cranky about this trip to the globalist socialist movie theater to see a brainwashing film. The only way to deal with that is to have a couple of news reporter babies
sure.
come in.
Sure.
These two dicks... So it's Tom Papert and Patrick Howley, and they both work at National File, and they are just like, I can't look at them and not think that they're babies dressed up like adults. They just strike me as, like, I don't know.
The suits don't fit too well. They've got shoulder pads on.
And they have these sort of skills and presentation of, I don't know, like debate team junior
sure,
high kids.
Sure,
like, it's just outrageous.
At the end of the performance, they both, like, step away from their chairs. One of them gets on the other's shoulders, yeah. and they put their big trench coat on and walk out.
Yeah, and they're like, like... Tom's a little bit beefy
yeah.
and like Patrick Howley seems like a little squirrely guy.
So the team, and they're Laurel and Hardying
yes,
it. Oh
the,
boy.
The team of them and realizing that they work at the same place. It's just, it's comical. Yes. I kind of want to write a sitcom about it. I will not though.
A nice little workplace comedy about those two evil fucks.
I will just suffer through listening to these two horribly voiced people explain to me how Trump can seize power.
A sitting U.S. representative in the new Congress that will come in on January 3rd needs to have in writing a written objection. We've got this from Mo Brooks. That written objection then needs to be mirrored in the Senate. If it is with Tommy Tuberville or any number of people, Rand Paul, I'm looking at you, Ted Cruz, looking at you. These are all of our heroes, right? Why haven't they agreed to do this? That's a very good
Take
question.
A
but
fucking
then
guess.
If they have a senator agree, the two chambers break off and go meet and discuss the allegations of fraud, what they should do, whether they should strike these electoral votes, what the proper thing to do. And in all likelihood, Nancy Pelosi's house will say, no, Arizona's Sharpie ballot markers were fine. That was just how elections were meant to be, according to the founding fathers. Meanwhile, if the Republicans have a spine, which we'll see if that happens, that's the big question, they'll come back and say, no, Arizona must be thrown out. It's then entirely up to Vice President Mike Pence, as the presiding officer of the joint session of Congress, he gets to decide what to do with that information, Alex. So Mike Pence can say, all right, I'm siding with the Senate on this one. We're going to toss out Arizona. He can do that. Or Pence can do the safe thing, the expected thing, and he can say, there's no agreement. I do not want to cast a tie-breaking vote. Therefore, Arizona stands.
I think the founding fathers would go ahead and throw out all the votes from non-whites and women.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they would worry too much about this election at all.
No.
Trump would have won in a landslide if the founding fathers had anything to say about
and
it.
And their definition of white might not be what yours
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be a little different.
If we go by the founding fathers' definition of votes, maybe 5 million would have been cast this year?
Yeah. Bad news, Italians and Irish. You can't vote.
Oh God!
Yeah, so that like what the Sharpies? Get the fuck out of here!
I will tell you this: if they find some Byzantine way where they're like, no, technically, I mean, I'm sorry, but according to legal code 206.C54, Trump is going to be president for the next 4 years. I'm going to start a war by myself. By myself.
It'll be a war against...
A Byzantine code rule? And the, yeah, how it's dare
not,
you?
It's not going to fly.
How
this is,
dare you?
This is just fan service.
Yeah, exactly.
So if this happened the way that Papert is discussing here, these objections would have to be brought up in the January 6th joint session of Congress. And then it would require a senator and representative to have signed on. Then each house would meet separately and debate the matter. So each objection, each state would have to have an objection with a senator and a representative signed on. And then they'd each have to be debated.
We call on the right honorable senator from Kentucky. Yes. Do you believe in reality? No. Next person.
So each House of Congress would then vote, and they would require a simple majority for the objection to stand. The objections would literally never pass the House, so you could just forget about that. And it seems nearly impossible for me to imagine that it would end up in a 50-50 tie in the Senate, which would be the only time when Mike Pence's vote would matter. Because the only instance there would be like, okay, it's possible if both Democrats win in the Georgia runoff elections.
Sure.
Then the vote in the Senate goes down like strictly party lines.
Sure.
Then we get to a 50-50. But that seemed super unlikely. I find it really difficult to believe, even as craven and ghoulish as some of these GOP Congress people are, I can't imagine Mitt Romney voting along that line.
No, they just heard my threat. Hold on. Rand Paul can't even debate me. Imagine if I started my own war against all of them.
I think Rand Paul would go along with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I don't think that Mitt Romney would. There's a number of GOP senators that I don't think are secure enough in their position that they would go along with this. I think even McConnell's a toss-up.
Oh, he's too much of a craven dickwad to... if he thought he could win, he'd win. And if he thought
but he couldn't.
If he thought he would lose, he'd find some way to screw somebody else.
But you couldn't. Even if you do this and you somehow get the objection to stand in the Senate, it still doesn't stand in the House. It doesn't matter. These statutes are really clear that in order for things like this to fly, there needs to be agreement in both houses of Congress. When there's an alternative slate of electors offered from each state and the houses they disagree on which to accept, quote, the statute states that the votes of the electors whose appointment was certified by the governor of the state shall be counted. The only outcome this is going to result in is like they're just going to draw this shit out. Like the process is just going to get dragged out. They're going to stall any government operation, and they're going to further radicalize and agitate the right wing elements who just can't accept that Trump lost. Tom Papert's out here creating this fantasy world for them to all live in, and then when that world does not materialize, it's just going to drive the audience deeper into the hole of resentment and insisting that the system is broken and can't be fixed.
Yeah.
Like, if these magical fantasy plans don't work, what hope does the actual process have?
Yeah.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
That's all that's going on here. It's just like, draw it out, drag it out.
Yeah, the problem is, once you've exhausted all of your magical plans, then everybody who's believed that the magical plans could happen eventually has to go, nothing we do works. We have to do something different.
And usually the thing that they think to do different is not like, let's get into actually organizing building.
And no, that's because they don't ask, why are we always losing? Because they already know the answer.
Can't be because the plans are magical.
No, it can't be that. It has to be because these people are so evil, they won't even follow the rules that we're the good guys. We're trying to follow the rules, and they won't. It's not that we're full of shit.
Nope. Certainly not.
So
that's Tom Papert coming in with his magical Mike Pence plan.
Love it.
And then we get Patrick Hawley also on the call.
All right.
Just like really being a shithead.
Well, Alex, first of all, I want to make clear, because I just got a text, you know, nobody's considering replacing Mike Pence in the short term as a strategy, but mark my words, that was looked into, that was researched. Absolutely no one has a free pass if they're going to go against President Donald Trump. President Donald Trump is the Republican Party. President Donald Trump is this movement, and the American people are desperate to keep him in here.
So actually, I looked into this a little bit, and I found a mission statement for Patrick Hawley's politics.
Sure. Sure.
There is no loyalty except loyalty to Donald Trump. There's no love except love for Donald Trump. There is no laughter except the laugh of triumph over Antifa. There is no art, no literature, no science. When we are omnipotent, we shall have no more need for science. There will be no distinction between beauty and ugliness. There will be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed, but always, and do not forget this, Winston, there will always be the intoxication of power, constantly increasing. You get where I'm going with
this. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Dude, get a job that does, do something good, become a bricklayer, do something good with your life instead of writing that.
Sweat a little bit.
Just do something.
He didn't
something.
Actually write that. I mean, it's spiritually
in line with.
So Patrick Hawley is a little bit too, like, obvious.
Here's what's going to happen on January 6th is great independent media like Tom and Alex Jones are going to show the world in real time all of the evidence that the courts have not been making public to the people and the Supreme Court won't even hear. And I know Matt Gaetz is going to fight, and I know we can drag it out for hours upon hours upon hours and create a maximum pressure scenario. And that's why what we're doing is going to really make an impact.
So that was showing a few too many cards, I think.
Yeah.
Patrick Hawley knows that the only thing they're going to achieve is this big dum-dum publicity stunt, and they're going to extend the process by however long they can to maximize profits. Unfortunately, according to the U.S. Code, each objection that gets made is limited to 2 hours of debate, with no congressperson being allowed more than 5 minutes to speak or question the matter. You can do the math if you want, but according to the law, there's only so much they can drag out this way.
Yeah.
So good luck. Enjoy. Dumb.
Jesus.
So Alex wants Tom and Pat to close things out by explaining, hey, who are them globalists?
All right.
And in my note, I just have here, these people are fucking nuts.
Okay.
30 seconds or 1 minute each. How would you describe in 1 minute, Papert, the globalist?
Well, what you started to say is accurate. It's a collection of psychopaths who have figured out that they can leverage blackmail, extortion, bribery, everything you can get to keep a seat in power, no matter what country is the global hegemon. If it's the United States, that's great. If it's China, who cares? I think that that is the globalist. They are power drunk. They are sick, and they have no loyalties to anything but power.
Well, they might have loyalty to Baal, to Moloch.
That's true.
And, you know, these are baby-killing Satanists. They are overseeing a genocide of little babies. They're sick people. They have a religion. They believe that they're, you know, descended from the Nephilim bloodlines. It's a satanic Luciferian cult.
Wow.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I just don't. There's not.
Our enemies believe that they're descended from the Nephilim.
It's not. No, they don't. They don't.
Well,
they don't exist.
You just don't know about what they talk about
they
behind closed
don't
doors.
Don't exist. Really? Say that out loud.
Nephilim.
Say that
bloodlines.
Out loud. Our enemies believe they're descended from the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. Okay. All
the
right.
Biblical giants.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Bye. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Yep. Goodbye, Tom Papert and Patrick Hawley. You have comported yourself exactly how one would expect, which is not well.
Yeah.
So,
Alex, try and steal booze from somebody, two toddlers wearing a goddamn fucking, ugh.
Alex has a really important, like, sort of structural public service announcement that I think is actually really, really key for the info warriors to take to heart.
Brother, I absolutely agree with you, and we have to physically not support the big globalist chains. Sometimes we still will be forced to. We have to physically support mom and pops. We have to understand it's a war.
Didn't you go see Wonder Woman at a socialist globalist movie theater on opening weekend?
Look, Alamo Drafthouse isn't a huge chain. It's not AMC or anything like that. I think you're supporting mom and pop. I mean, obviously, mom and pop evil globalist socialists, but, you know, they're still... room for that small business globalism.
Opening weekend.
Yeah.
Movie I hate. Great. So Alex goes back to calls, and this caller actually brings up what I would say is a good point.
Okay.
It's a logical extension of a lot of Alex's ideas.
All right.
I'd love to see in the future your show maybe focus on, or one of a new show maybe focus on how we start setting up new systems and societies to get outside of the mainstream society. And
what you're saying is 100% the answer. We should all just be focusing on communities, neighborhoods, towns, organizations, free association groups. where we want a pro-human future, where we want traditional values, where we honor life, where we honor children, where we honor goodness, because they've overtaken the churches and control most of those. And so we need something that, I don't want to even use the word secular, but something that's just human and saying we reject death, we reject the wages of the New World Order. God bless you, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah, so I mean, this caller is essentially bringing up like, hey, why don't we talk more about setting up some communes?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know what? We should. Yeah.
We should set up those communes. But that does sound a lot like what the dirty globalists want to do. Shit. We're stuck. Our imaginary enemies have solutions that we don't like because they're also our... God damn it!
We have to make rural autonomous zones as opposed to autonomous zones in cities.
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Completely different.
So Joel Skousen shows up, and the conversation about this dumb elector plan that Tom Papert was pitching earlier comes up. And I'll say, to Skousen's credit, he doesn't go in for that bullshit. He thinks it's a dumb plan.
It's going to be very easy to block. It doesn't matter how many people are in favor of the Trump electors. All it takes is two or three to block. And I think that's what's going to happen in the Senate.
Is there any path to victory now for Trump?
Disrespectful.
Eating a little bit.
Disrespectful.
Eating a little bit.
Yeah.
Having a little bite.
So I will say that Skousen, I will tip my hat to him in terms of him, you know, saying that this plan is dumb.
Yes.
I will retract my hat. At
always.
This point, when he starts talking about, there was that story that was going around about John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, yelling about how we can't take up this case.
Absolutely.
Listen to this idiot.
Okay.
Listen to this idiot Joel Skousen talk about that story.
All right.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
Okay.
As you know, there was this supposed leak from the Supreme Court, which I'm a little bit doubtful of, stating that John Roberts, you know, had a yelling and screaming session threatening conservatives into not taking up the Texas case for fear of rioting in the United States if we ever, you know, allow Trump to be reelected. Well, the Supreme Court came out the next day and said there was no such yelling match because the Supreme Court justices haven't met in person for weeks because of COVID-19. Everything's done by Zoom meeting. But another person had said, well, it's very possible they did meet in person because John Roberts wouldn't have wanted to put this on Zoom, which is not a secure form of communications. It could have been tapped and leaked to the American people what he was saying on that. So I think there's good arguments in both cases. But this much I do know, Alex, that John Roberts is a controlled individual by the deep state.
Of course.
And he did, in fact, and would, in fact, always vote against Trump to make sure he's not reelected.
What a fucking idiot.
All right. So... I doubt this story even happened.
Great start.
Okay.
Great start to launch this ship.
And they told me that it didn't happen because only Zoom meetings have happened for weeks. My rebuttal to that is, what if they did?
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Skousen.
What if instead of the thing that's real, they did the thing that I said?
Skousen, I'm going to fucking subscribe to your newsletter, man. You were killing it. Oh, fucking that level of reasoning is being brought to this. What if?
All right. Now, I know the sun rose yesterday, but what if it didn't?
Right.
What would we say then?
I would guess that any communication between Supreme Court justices is not something that anyone would want to leak. And therefore, this meeting would not be different or special from any other meeting. If any is being done on Zoom, I would assume probably a hyper secure special Zoom. It's
probably
not like the Zoom that you and I use.
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I would doubt it.
Very stupid.
Although
very stupid reasoning skills. Very dumb analysis.
I will say, as we found out when we did our bonus episode over Zoom, it's not even possible for John Roberts to scream at somebody through Zoom. It cuts your volume off if you're anywhere near as loud as me.
That might have been your laptop.
That could be me.
But it's unclear. So anyway, we're going to end this episode here and jump to the 29th.
All right.
Skousen, who cares? You just talks about how you need to live an hour outside of town.
I want to move an hour outside of town.
I don't not want to, but I also don't care to hear Skousen talk about it. So we jump to the 29th here. This is delightful. I find this a lot of fun. Alex decides to kick things off by teasing a little bit.
Okay.
But then he's like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm teasing about.
Okay.
But it's a little...
You can't tease a tease.
But it's a little too obvious.
Okay.
Now, I know some incredible information that I am not at liberty to tell you, but I am at liberty to just give you a hint, which I don't think is too hard. You notice Trump said January 6th will be wild in D.C.? Well, it will be wild. And I can tell you the Twilight Zone nature of all of this went up to a whole new level yesterday. And I'll leave it at that.
Alex keeps trying to hint that Trump's going to come to the rallies.
Yeah. It's very simple.
Yeah. I love the idea of somebody being like, look, here's some information. You can't tell anybody, but you can hint.
Yeah. Hey, listen, don't give away the information. Make it a puzzle.
This is really serious.
Yeah.
And you got to be on the up and up about this. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to hint. I'm not going to give you any lines that you can't cross.
I'm not going to say make it too easy or too hard. Yeah. I'm not going to say that. I just want you to put your own spin on it.
Yeah.
All right.
So yesterday's show, the 28th, was kind of disappointing in a lot of ways. There wasn't a lot of content. There was a lot of stupid shit.
Anytime those two dum-dums are on the show, it's bad. Yeah.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of Wonder Woman complaining, and sure. I found it to be uninspired even by Alex standards. But there was a problem.
Did he even talk about Pedro Pascal?
No.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good.
I'm sure he is. But
he's amazing.
But look, there was a problem with the show that was structural. It was beyond what I could observe.
Okay, let me just kind of calmly explain this. I got prepared for yesterday's show for several days, and then I got so upset after looking at all the news and evidence and over-preparing.
Watching Wonder Woman.
That I was in such a nasty mood when I started the show yesterday that I just
didn't cover. Because you watched Wonder Woman.
Yeah, man, I over-prepared. I just couldn't get my job done because I was too prepared again.
Okay, so...
Constantly over-prepared.
Whining about Wonder Woman happened because he was too prepared. Too prepared.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And angry. And someone named Diana called in.
Well, then you gotta.
Yeah.
You just gotta.
Sure.
I don't blame him for that. I would have done the same in that situation.
And then today, he's like, I ought to make good on it. You know, I had all this over-preparation yesterday. Now I must pay off that over-preparation.
All right, here we go.
So what he decides to do is show off like a baby might.
Whine about
Wonder
Woman?
Let me show
you
just the COVID stacks. One is from yesterday, three are from today. So I have four stacks right here. Four COVID stacks. Now, look at this stat.
Look at this one. Look at all these stacks. I have so much paper.
I've been in the pool hustling game for a while. I'll tell you right now. I know when somebody has some fake ones.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know what's underneath roll. I know what's going on.
This is somebody who's like padded an essay to.
Yeah.
Hit the word limit. That's how it feels.
No,
like, oh, look at all this paper.
No,
I've read all this.
I know you said size 14, but what if I can get away with a size 15? That's one less word per page.
Yeah. It's so much a desperate attempt to trick people into thinking he's prepared at all. Because it visually looks like he might have.
Yeah.
There's so much paper out here.
Yeah.
I would be more impressed if he had nothing. but it's all just a magic trick. Anyway, Alex is apparently the story is another level of deep COVID denialism that, again, was like the kind of thing that I just had to walk away from, breathe a little bit, and just be like, oh, fuck you, man.
So again, they're like, oh, we're turning people away. Well, that's like saying one restaurant is full, but there's 10 more next door that aren't. That's how they statistically manipulate it. But I'm not just going to tell you that. We're going to show you where you can go directly into the CDC's own numbers and see what every hospital in your town or city has, because the COVID cases are all reported, because they're all incentivized to call it COVID to get money. And most of these people don't even need to be in the hospital. But Travis County is at, as of last night, 9% COVID capacity. There are 77 people in hospitals in Austin, in Travis County, that supposedly have COVID. We're talking millions of people, 77 in the hospital.
Alex is desperately trying to spin the news stories that have been coming out about how hospitals are going to have to start talking about rationing care because they can't handle the load of patients with the surge of COVID-19 cases. Obviously, this is something that people have been warning about for a long time, and everything Alex has stood for has been the exact things that people warned would cause the need to ration care and turn people away from hospitals. The fact that we've reached the point we have should be a sign that people like Alex Jones have been a cancerous influence on the public information space, and that his recommendations have led exactly where everyone knew they would. So it's super important for him to act like all this is imaginary or something. The way he chooses to do it is by covering the story like a fifth grader doing a book report about a novel he's only pretending to have read. There's a couple of details that he got from reading the back cover that he's hitting really hard in order to fake like he knows what he's talking about. A December 28th article in the Austin Statesman reported that the ICU occupancy in Travis County rose 62% in just the previous week. The county has a maximum ICU availability of 200 patients, and they were at 132 on Monday night.
Jesus.
There are 422 hospitalizations in the county linked to COVID-19 as of the time of the writing of that article. I was trying to get a sense of what Alex could possibly be talking about, because the numbers that he's using are just completely out of sync with anything I can find reported anywhere. I looked at the Austin COVID-19 surveillance dashboard, and I think I figured out where he got the 77 number from. I think that was the number of people listed as on ventilators at the time that he looked at the data.
Okay.
By December 31st, that number was up to 81, but it seems like the number could have possibly been close to what he was saying at the time that he read it. And I actually found a Statesman article from earlier this week that cited that the number of people on ventilators was 77 in Austin on Monday,
okay,
when this episode was recorded. So I'm pretty sure that's what he's...
That sounds about right, yeah.
What's outrageous about this, if this is what he's going off of, like this misinterpretation, is that right next to the ventilator number on the COVID-19 dashboard is the hospitalized figure in twice as large a font, which is much higher. If Alex actually had looked to find these numbers, it would be literally impossible for him to miss that one and see the other one. It kind of heavily implies that either he's just repeating something that someone told him, which is inaccurate, or he's willfully passing along inaccurate information in order to minimize the public health risk posed by COVID-19, which stands a very good chance of getting extra people killed.
I mean, he just saw Wonder Woman, so whenever he read that, his brain was all messed up. He thought that the smaller number was the only number that you could see. That's what happens with Wonder Woman.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can't see large numbers anymore.
Shit.
Yeah, I know. It's a real bummer.
Fuck.
Write something bigger than 16 point font and I cannot read
it. Oh no.
Yeah, I know, it's brutal.
Also, in terms of deaths, the city of Austin put out a press release on December 30th announcing that COVID-19 was the third highest cause of death this year, behind only cancer and heart disease. The number is at least 548 this year. If you do a little bit of math, that's north of one a week.
Yeah.
Also, I know it's not possible, but I wish you would just stop doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more fun when it's Wonder Woman, Illuminati symbols, and fake Jefferson quotes.
It
sucks.
It blows me away. Like, I understand it because I have never been able to just light $20,000 on fire whenever I wanted to. But it never fails to surprise me what people will be convinced is enough to, like, corrupt somebody. Like, this whole, like, oh, they get an extra $20,000 it says COVID in an ICU, and it's like, that's nothing. The people that you are describing as being the evil billionaires that are destroying everything would fucking put $20,000 under their shoes just to feel like what it's to step on money. It is nothing.
But it's but there's a secondary conversation even past that, that money that's being discussed isn't like some kind of a bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's payment for care.
Yeah.
Like, it's Medicare payments.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think the people who have other things don't also have payments attached to them, like a heart attack? Do you think that maybe might be more?
No. If you go in for a cough and you have a heart attack, they still only pay for the cough. They're not giving people bonuses just for having a heart attack in the hospital, Dan.
He's imagining that, like, this number is zero for other things. We incentivize.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid.
It's pathetic.
But, yes, that number is also, like, really big to people like us.
Yeah,
and, comically small to people like...
It's one of those things that it's hilarious to me whenever people are like, oh man, your House of Representatives make like $140,000 a year. And it's like, yes, I know that's a lot of money to you and me, but to the oligarchs who own them, they can shit out $140,000 every 5 seconds. Like, it is so little. The real scale of corruption that we are existing in is world level. Like, the country is what corruption, where, like, somebody could be like, okay, I will corrupt you if you own Sudan now. Like, that's the level of billionaire evil corruption we're dealing with.
I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
In terms of scale.
Yeah.
So I thought that was bad. I thought that Alex claiming that 77 people are hospitalized with COVID-19 in Travis County, which is demonstrably not true and very, very bad. I thought that was bad. But then this is worse, I think.
We've got... Kyle Rittenhouse's mother.
No. No.
She did her first interview yesterday with Owen Schroyer. I was like up here working. I was like, wow, she's got a lot to say.
No, she
I haven't
not.
Seen her on TV. And they're like, no, this is, I think, her first interview. So she'll be joining us with her lawyer about the incredible persecution of the Rittenhouses. That's a beta test for the rest of us in the third hour.
Oh, boy. So whenever that does end up happening, Alex cannot stop saying, we are all Kyle Rittenhouse.
Jesus.
It's very uncomfortable.
That's not good.
No, it's a bad interview. And we'll get to a little bit of it to end this episode.
We are all murderers, however, is something that I would say that Alex is correct on.
Spiritually.
If that's what he's describing, yeah.
So we got to get back to this hospital hoax first, though, that Alex is going to blow the lid off.
Great.
Man. This guy is an in-depth journalist.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to lay out for you the absolute proof of total criminal fraud by the hospitals, by the media, by the CDC, because they go on the news and they say, we've got to lock down the economy. You can't leave your house for a few months. We're going to have 2.5 million dead in just a few months. The hospitals are already overwhelmed. And the people went to the very hospitals. You saw the hundreds of videos.
Yeah, I remember when everybody took pictures of parking lots and pretended that no one was
great
at hospital. Yeah, I remember
you
that.
You guys are all dogged industrial.
Yeah. So Alex rambles about nonsense for a bit. I'm like, what are you actually talking about? And he finally gets down to it. And it was an article in NPR that he found.
Sure.
Federal data reveals which hospitals are dangerously full this week. Is yours? And then you link to the federal government CDC website from NPR. But they know you're not going to link through.
No, you know they're. You know
federal
you're
data
not,
shows you've got $1 billion in your bank account, but you really don't. Look at this. Federal data reveals which hospitals are dangerously full this week. Is yours?
So what's going on here is that Alex is upset about an article he didn't read in NPR, where they had some links that I guess he's certain no one followed. I'm certain that Alex didn't do any original research on this, nor do I believe that he went and looked at the raw data, because I'm certain he would be unable to read the Excel spreadsheet. It's a lot of rows.
Yeah.
He's talking about the data visualization that NPR posted, which does show that Travis County has 9% of its known inpatient beds used for COVID patients. The problem with that stat on its own is that it's meaningless. For instance, if Alex looked a little bit deeper into the data, he'd see that 9 out of 15 Austin hospitals are not included in the data set. So it's a little incomplete in terms of getting the full picture.
Well, that's a struggle.
But even beyond that, the problem isn't that all the beds are being taken up by COVID patients. It's that with a rise in COVID patients, the hospitals will reach their capacity and have no beds left for anybody else who might need treatment. That's why a more than surface level analysis of this data is important. So let's take St. David's Medical Center in Austin as an example. They show 7% of their adult inpatient beds being taken up for COVID patients. That seems like nothing. A drop in the bucket at 7%. However, if you look at the next column, you'll see that 93% of their total adult inpatient beds are occupied. So any increases in COVID patients would be a disaster for them. You see this in many of the included Austin hospitals. Ascension Seton Medical Center has 13% of its beds taken by COVID patients, but 90% total occupied. Del Seton Medical Center at UT Austin has 23% of its beds taken by COVID patients, but 94% are occupied total. For North Austin Medical Center, 10% are COVID patients, but 94% total are occupied.
Yeah.
This is the pattern that is the important piece.
Yeah.
The concern is definitely partially that there are a lot of COVID patients that need to be treated, but the larger picture has to take into account that hospitals have a certain capacity. And even beyond that, they only have a certain amount of human attention that can be provided to patients. You can't magically create doctors and nurses in a 3D printer. So even if you add a ton of beds or put patients who should be in the ICU in non-ICU beds, it's not like that part of the equation can be balanced out.
Yeah.
This is the sort of context that Alex deprives his audience of because he thinks that he has a slam dunk with the optics of this 9% statistic. He can yell that 9% all he wants, but it doesn't change the reality that it's far more complex than surface-level faked book reports.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be saying this a lot, but this shit's disgraceful. Like, it's infantile bullshit.
This elevator has 100 people on it, and there's only an increase in 9% of COVID patients adding to the elevator. I mean, sure, the maximum capacity is 50, and the elevator's going to fall, and everyone's going to die.
Well, it's only 9.
But you can fit an extra 9% in there.
It's interesting when you either willfully or are unable to understand the complexities of things, and then you gloat about it.
Yeah.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. St. David's is at 7% capacity. Uh-oh, St. David's South Austin Medical Center is at 20% capacity. Uh-oh, Ascension Seton. Oh, no, this one. They're at 13%. Oh, no, we're all dead. You average together 9% capacity.
Again, those are the hospitals that we just discussed.
Yeah.
It's not he's not taking into account the larger picture,
yeah.
And he's gloating about missing the point, which is kind of like exactly what Alex does. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut out this next clip because it's pointless, but I just thought it was pretty funny that Alex claims that he fact-checked Johns Hopkins.
All right. All right, Alex.
I just thought that
all
was really funny. Like,
get the fuck out of here.
Alex sitting there with like bifocals on, like,
Jesus
what?
Christ.
Hold on.
Yeah. Using my CPA, yeah. I have gone through and taken care of Johns Hopkins' numbers.
I just thought that was really funny, just the mental image of it. But it pales in comparison to how excited I got when I heard this clip.
Okay.
So there's facts. Now, I haven't hit the latest, the actual UN document where they admit it's all a hoax and for power and control, bigger than the Great Reset. It was first in a Canadian document. They tried to say, well, we're not sure if it's real, but we were able to search the document and find other documents from other countries that confirm it is real. Ha ha ha! We have you now. We'll be back. Hour number two, straight ahead. This is the InfoWar.
God damn, he's so excited. I am pumped.
We have you now.
Yeah.
You better.
He got him.
You better fucking follow through on we have you now.
Dude, he got him.
If you have them now,
man,
you better now have them.
You know me pretty well. You know that's something that gets me excited when Alex drops something like that
we
on my lap.
We have them now.
It's a document.
We have them now, not later. We're not going to get them soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now is when we have them.
Yeah, but we'll get back to that.
All right.
Because Alex.
But we have them now. We should be getting to it now. You can't get back to something that we have now.
There's more important things going on.
We have them!
Nope.
Oh, okay.
There's Epstein. Remember him?
I should have known.
He had a cellmate.
I should have guessed.
And that cellmate just died of COVID.
Sure.
And now this is a conspiracy.
Now it's a conspiracy.
Epstein liked to read a lot, and he kept himself. He wasn't a problem starter or too loud. My uncle said he was a good cellmate, his niece said. The Daily News reports that Reyes was transferred to a private prison the day before Epstein hanged himself in August 2019, and it was there that he contracted the coronavirus. Oh. So he was found dead in his apartment, and they're telling you it was coronavirus. Let me tell you who else died of COVID-19. Please pull up the Zapruder film, please. That's right. Little did you know.
Well done.
But the coronavirus, COVID-19, got in a time machine and went back to Dallas.
Killing it.
I think he thought of that bit before he realized that the cellmate wasn't there when Epstein died.
Yeah.
I think he found that out on air.
Yeah.
It was reading that. I could sense a really strong, like, damn it.
Oh, shit.
I thought this was the person I was going to pin the murder on.
Really going to be great. It's really going to be great.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Alex hasn't got the memo from Trump's lawyer tweeting about Epstein being still alive, too. What's going on here?
Oh, God.
Anyway, I'm gonna cut out this whole part, too. I have no patience for it right now, and it's not important. I can just tell you what happened.
Okay.
Ivan Reichlin, the guy who hung out with Michael Flynn Jr. At the CPAC meeting.
Yeah.
And apparently was working with some kind of a search engine startup.
Hey, they're great.
Very confusing stuff. He is on, and his argument for Alex is that Trump needs to immediately take over the emergency alert system.
Okay, that'll do it. Then we'll all understand.
And he needs to start, I guess, like broadcasting to people and explaining like the election was stolen over their phones or something.
Yeah.
It's unclear the specifics of what they want Trump to do, but it involves taking over technology in a way that's like usually just for tornadoes.
You know, judging by the number of times it came up in cartoons when I was growing up, I assumed you would be able to solve most anti-reality problems with a frying pan to the side of the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, if this happens, if somebody says something
like
that,
it'll get you back into, like,
it'll
reality.
You hit him with a frying pan and all of a sudden he's like, woo, good thing I don't think that shit anymore.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. I don't know if I can endorse a frying pan, but I would like...
Only if it brings people back into reality.
Well, I got...
A magical frying pan.
I need to ask you this, though.
Sure.
I got the sense that this had something to do with Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Does it?
No. The Lasso of Truth?
No, the plot of the movie.
Oh.
Like the electronic alert system idea.
Yeah, I guess that might be the case.
There was something.
I can see that.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen the movie. It felt like Alex was hinting at having some connection to Wonder Woman.
Yeah. There was a presidential, like, we can control and broadcast into every home using this new technology.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep, it is.
There you go.
It's from the movie.
Yeah, I honestly forgot about that part because I don't remember too much of them.
Anyway, yeah. Ivan Reichlin wants Alex to get Trump to use that.
Okay. All right. The super secret magical broadcast into everybody's home
to save America.
We got to stop letting these people watch movies.
Yeah, it would be good.
All they get to read is Heart of Darkness. Alex, That's it.
You can't come back to the Alamo Draft House.
You have to wake up every morning to Colonel Kurtz, he dead. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do.
So,
Mr. Kurtz, sorry.
We'll jump ahead to this Rittenhouse's mom coming in.
Sure.
Because we've heard Ivan Reichlin before, and basically his interview is no more interesting than Trump should use the emergency alert system to fuck with people.
That'd be great.
It wouldn't. It would be dark.
Yeah. What if War of the Worlds was the president and also real?
God, it'd be awful.
That'd be a nightmare.
So I feel okay skipping that because I find myself uninspired by it at the moment. I'm uninspired by Kyle Rittenhouse's mom as well, but it seems like something that bears discussion. Alex is like really trying to turn Kyle Rittenhouse into like a folk hero.
We've watched the left burn down apartment buildings and police stations and shoot innocent people in the head on the side of the road. And we've watched the media tell us that it's mostly peaceful demonstrations. And then we saw Kyle Rittenhouse
murder people.
Who become a symbol
of
good people defending themselves.
A murderer.
Out there trying to be a medic, trying to help people.
Murdering people.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin.
He's a murderer.
Being chased down by thugs with guns.
Oh, he's a white supremacist murderer. I forgot about
that. And defending himself.
Murder?
And now having the book thrown at him.
Because he's a murderer.
I couldn't tell if this interview was prompted by the state tacking on a breaking curfew charge. Which I even thought was a little like, that's suspicious.
That's a little petty.
There's got to be a reason, but I can't figure out what it is.
So they can treat him very nicely and then throw the book at him on that breaking curfew charge.
I'm not entirely sure, but I was listening to this and I'm like, I'm going to get mad. I don't like this. But then I realized I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to feel really sad for these people. I mean, look, no, I don't. But at the same time, I feel gross. Maybe that's what I feel.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Let's
I need to talk to my therapist, figure out exactly what I feel about this.
Let's find out.
We need more help, Alex. We need everyone to go to freekyleusa.com. Kyle was subjected to an outrageous, excessive, unconstitutional $2 million cash bail amount. We raised those $10 million. We put the cash on the barrelhead. We got him free. We set him free. He's with his family. But we need a lot more resources. This is going to be a long, hard fight. Every American, every Democrat, Republican, Independent should care about this because they're coming after Kyle Rittenhouse now, and they're going to come after you next.
Let's be clear about that. They pick people like Rittenhouse, like Stone, like Jones, like Trump, because I've experienced it. I'm not being a victim here. It's just true. And then we become like a standard, like the flag that they want to get. And then they throw everything they've got at you, the harassment, the lawsuits, the lies.
I mean, like, nothing would be happening to Alex if he didn't commit, like, violations against people.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't defame people, then he wouldn't be getting sued for those things.
Yeah.
If Kyle Rittenhouse hadn't shot people, or even, you know, been at this protest with a gun that he shouldn't legally have had, like, there's a number of issues that, you know, like, it's not like globalists want to just turn people into symbols or whatever. There's actions that precede those lawsuits or arrests that generally are what caused them.
These fuckers cheer when a black person gets 10 years for weed.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. I like any sympathy that I had where I was like, you know what? It was her son who did it. she's not directly involved with that. I'm not going to blame the mother. You know, maybe parenting is an issue. I don't know. I don't know them
she
personally.
She went on InfoWars.
Now that is all fucking gone.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. You're a murderer too. I don't give a shit.
But also this, like, this entire appearance is really just about raising money.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
They're constantly going back to the well of, like, we need more money.
Yeah.
But Alex wants some content. He doesn't want her just like putting out this message.
You get money for content. You understand the job here.
Tell me how bad the left is.
Yeah.
Has this been a new experience for you to really find out what the left's really like?
They don't like to be murdered.
I mean, the left is disgusting, unreal. And you have to be a criminal for them to put you on a pedestal. My son.
No, your son's a murderer. He's a
caring young man, and
no, he's not.
They utilized him. Then he's a monster, a killer, a murderer.
Yeah, he is.
You know, it's just pawn. I'm just so disgusted with it. You know, they need to be stopped.
The internal logic here doesn't work.
Yes.
Because if the left has turned her son into a criminal and a murderer, then they should be putting him on a pedestal based on her saying that they take criminals and put them on pedestals.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense.
No. No. And we, the left, needs to be stopped. Otherwise, Kyle Rittenhouse will continue murdering us.
Hey, look. I just...
Fuck them. That's... Fuck you.
I agree.
If you want to say that to me, cool. I will let you finish your statement, and then I will say, go fuck yourself.
What if somebody wants to say this?
New website and everything like that. We're selling merchandise from t-shirts, the mugs. I know I'm going to say it, bikinis. Yes. And a lot of people are disgusted by it. But you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, I got that vibe. I got that vibe pretty strong.
I'm interested to read Kyle's book. If I did it, here's how I would have done it. Does he get to keep the profits from all of those sales?
I mean, let's imagine a best case scenario for like the rest of his life.
Yeah,
like just after that night, this is not part of it. Your mom selling Kyle Rittenhouse bikinis.
Yep.
Like, just even, like, take that night in Kenosha out of the equation. Imagine your mom selling a bikini with your face on it.
Jesus.
That would be years of therapy.
That'd be great. That'd be really great. That'd be real great.
It seems gross.
Jesus.
Not because it's a bikini. I mean, it's just, like, it's just crass. You know, like, it's exploitative.
Yeah, it's like in Peaky Blinders, whenever the one kid goes to jail and his mom it winds up sleeping with the corrupt, evil Northern Irish police chief to get him out. And he's like, Mom, what did you do? What did you do? That's infinitely better than if you find out your mom sold your face on a bikini.
I refuse to believe that Peaky Blinders exists. I think it's just a funny name.
Fantastic. It's a great show.
So
Cillian Murphy is the best.
I got this vibe off his mom that really worried me. You know, like laughing about selling bikinis and then getting a little defensive about it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, Ma. And then the lawyer comes in and says this, and I got even worse vibes off this dude.
There has been a long march through the institutions over the past few decades. It's very similar to the Maoist revolution in China and the Chinese Communist Party. Their tactics are very clear. They attempt to destroy everything sacred in a society. They attempt to they tear down statues. They try to destroy history. They try to destroy our faith in God. And they try to capture the key cultural elite institutions, such as the media, such as academia, such as, you know, the financial institutions, and today, such as big tech. And they've been pretty successful on that front. But I'll tell you, Americans are waking up now, and we're going to fight back. And it's not going to be pretty for those who are attempting to take our freedom.
Well, all I can say is amen to that. We got one more segment with you guys coming up.
I don't like the idea that this guy thinks there's a decades-long communist plot. He might not be the best representation. Also, I would guess that, like, I would say, are you a lawyer?
That this is...
Such as...
This is like when you're 17 and they're like, When you go to college, you need to get a good humanities education, and then you can kind of start mm-hmm. getting into your specialty. And you're all like, nah, I don't need, what is all this humanities bullshit? My major is pre-law or whatever. And it's like, this is why you need a humanities education. This is why you need to read anything other than law.
I have to make a confession.
What's that?
I didn't actually watch this video. So I can't confirm if this guy is, like, not a robot.
Oh, okay.
It's entirely possible he is, like, just animated on screen.
It's Wally.
Yeah, it's an AI lawyer.
It's one of those machines. It's
such
one of the ones
as
that-
big tech, such as media, such as banks.
Like when an AI writes a screenplay.
Yeah, yeah.
An AI writes a right-wing screed. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Alex is like, hey, I got a great idea.
You should work with Barnes.
Yeah, he breathes really heavy.
Yep.
You're a robot.
Yep.
No, his idea is like, I don't like these pardons that Trump was throwing around.
Yes, they're evil.
But maybe pardon could be used for Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, boy.
And
that
this,
would
this,
be.
This kind of reveals that Alex doesn't understand how pardons work.
Can the president pardon Rittenhouse before he's convicted? And obviously he didn't do anything wrong. The law's on his side. It's going to be a big fight. They're being political. They're not dropping it. But just hypothetically, could President Trump preemptively pardon Kyle Rittenhouse?
So Alex, the president's pardon authority is under the Constitution, only offend to charges under federal law. These are charges under state law in Wisconsin. So we are going to need to take this fight to the front lines in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. No.
Yeah. Also, any political system where you think it's a good idea to be able to write get out of jail free cards, like
uh-huh.
one free murder cards preemptively,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a bad system.
Yeah, no shit.
You should not support that system.
Even imagining that system
yeah.
is not good.
Yeah.
Brr.
No.
So anyway, fuck all these people. I'm not going to listen to any more of their interview. It's not really that interesting. It's just kind of like Alex begging for Kyle to come on once he can talk. You know, like
Jesus.
Once he can speak publicly, like, I got to get this guy a job.
Wow.
Might as well be what he's saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex has a little bit of time left to kill here at the end of the show. Mm. No more Wonder Woman thoughts.
Mm.
Although he does get to talking about Bill Gates. It turns out Bill Gates, demon.
Yeah.
Super demon.
Sure.
Genetic super demon.
I did not know that.
Now, when you look at Bill Gates, that is a literal super demon. A literal super killing machine.
So is he back in the 12?
He has the celebrations on TV, which with a psycho is what they love to do. That's why so many psychos like send letters to the police, you'll never catch me, you'll never get me, or they'll
Mr.
even brag
Detective.
About it. Right? In Hollywood, they tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it. And they just hate everyone, and it's like a kid pulling, the legs off a frog or something, except they do it to people en masse. And, of course, a lot of times it's genetic. His dad was clearly a genetic psychotic.
Oh, boy.
Mark Zuckerberg is a genetic psychopath.
Oh, boy.
And, boy, when I called him a genetic psychopath, because he obviously knows, that you can look at him and see he's got the chromosome disorder.
What?
There was several of them, but he's definitely got the disorder. He got so pissed. He said the last straw was Jones calling me a genetic psychopath. Because
that was his last straw.
The protege, the aide-de-camp, the apprentice of Bill Gates is, right? I mean, it's Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, they're on record. They vacation together. They both wear pink sweaters.
Oh, what more
God.
Do you need to know?
I hate everyone.
It's so obvious.
I hate this so much. I hate you
Holy
so much.
Holy shit.
Ah!
I really don't like the idea that Alex has decided that there is a psychopath gene that's inheritable among generations and that he can see visually.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
You know what's great to hear in 2020?
Mm.
Phrenology.
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah, what's really great is magic.
A lot of people who believe really heavily that things should be talked about in almost exclusively genetic terms are cool folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super cool.
Yeah, typically chill as
Love
hell.
Love them.
So we have one last clip here, and I hate to disappoint, but this is actually a perfect last clip for Alex.
Paul Watson has a lot to cover. I only scratch the surface here of the big enchilada today. I didn't get to it, and I can't really do justice to this.
We have them now.
The time I have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot a special report right after I'm not live.
We have them now!
I'm going to take a five-minute break.
Now!
And have a nice glass of water. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to shoot a whole report on this latest development.
Great.
Where you saw a few months ago they got the Canadian document about the next lockdowns coming and then there'll be the strain too and then we'll never unlock things until the communist takeover happens. People said, is this real? Yes.
Look, Alex didn't have time to cover this. I don't have time for it either. We'll see what happens in the next episode.
I fucking hate you. I hate this so much.
We've got you now. Now is when we've got you. And right now I'm going to take care of after we get to a couple of different things. Listen.
Look, I got to talk to Ivan Reichlin about how Trump needs to start using tornado alerts to take over the country.
That's how we're going to do it. That's how you got to get the message to the people. The problem with America, Dan, is not enough people have heard Trump speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real issue that I think we've all had.
He's just not getting his fair day in court.
He's not getting his word out.
Well, because the courts keep reading the petitions and being like, oh, no, this is comically stupid.
Yeah, reading is one of their big hang-ups when it comes to writing.
Yeah. So I think we have a pretty good start to the end of the year for Alex here. Wonder Woman sucks.
Yep.
Some harder COVID denialism, particularly around the 77 people like that. Glaring misunderstanding of the data and the weaponization of it.
Yeah.
I feel unglued.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to this, like, I want to know. Like, there's no continuity.
Right. Right. Right.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah. 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 It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyways,
what happened to there's no follow up on the Nashville.
Look, we have them now. You don't need to worry about it. What you need to worry about, Dan, is which of the Hollywood Chrises are you a fan of? Because listen, I hate Chris Pine.
Whoa.
I'm going to say it right now.
Whoa.
I watched Wonder Woman. I hate Chris Pine.
What about Evans?
What about Evans? Captain America? I can't support that. All
Whoa.
Cops are bad.
Whoa, boy.
All right, what next?
Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick? Oh, no. Definitely a big no on that one. Gonna go with a big pass, a Rooney on
what
that.
What was the name I was trying to pull out? The guy from
Chris
Parks and Rec.
Chris, oh, now I can't remember. Wait, no, the character's name was Chris.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that was Rob Lowe?
No.
Is that who you're talking about?
I'm thinking of the guy in Jurassic
Chris,
Park.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, he sucks,
Chris
too.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. He's a lunatic. He sucks.
Yeah.
Which is the other one? Chris Hemsworth. Who's Chris Hemsworth?
Thor? Or
is
Thor's
Thor?
Brother?
Love Thor.
Okay.
Love Thor. That's my favorite Chris. Done.
Great.
What about you?
I don't know, man. Maybe all Chris's suck. Except for our conspiracy of Chris's.
Well, that's true.
The wonderful
that's
Chris's that are in the Wonk Nation. That's what I choose.
Yep.
You're stars to me.
I love it.
So we'll be back on our next episode on Monday to check in and see how Alex closes out the disastrous year that was 2020.
Got to get rid of it.
And then, you know, we'll be into smoother sailing or not. Probably not.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
But Happy New Year to you and yours if
Same.
You celebrate the Gregorians.
Yep. If you're Gregorianers, then yeah, Happy New Year's to you.
And we'll be back. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
So we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight and at GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. It's knowledge. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out those doing God's work.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I live on the edge, man. I live 45 minutes from town.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.